I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16, and verses 16 through 40. I'm going to read a lot of scripture. How many believe that there's power in the Word of God? How many believe there's more power in the Word of God than there is maybe even the teaching on the Word of God? Because the Word is straight, 100% from God. Don, would you mind turning this light back on? We want to talk about Paul and Silas in jail. The title of this message is The Jailhouse Rocked, R-O-C-K-E-D. And we're going to begin reading there. Before we begin, I want to pray and ask the blessing of God's word on God's word. Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your people. And I pray, Lord, that there'll be an anointing upon your word, an anointing upon us to speak that word. Lord, that there'll be an encouragement with amongst all of us. We need your strength and encouragement. And Lord, against everything that we see as an obstacle, we need your help to help us through it. And Lord, we want victory in your name. Victory in the name of Jesus. We praise you and give you glory. Amen. We're going to read from Acts 16 and begin reading with verse 16. And I'm going to read a couple of verses and then give a couple of comments. I talked to my doctor emailed my doctor, and he said, it's okay as long as you don't go too long. How many's in accord with that? Should never ask that question, right? But he did reinforce that he did a great job and there shouldn't be any problems with this clearing up eventually. So I'm so thankful he has confidence, because if he didn't have confidence, then I would lack that too. In verse 16, now it happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. And as we are going to try to relate to you this story, that as they went to prayer, it seems like a lot of times that the disciples were on their way to praying, or the apostles were on their way to praying, and somebody was there that had a need. Remember Peter and John on the way to prayer, and the lame man that needed healing, and God so mercifully healed him. And it caused a stir amongst the leadership of the church, because they didn't, of the Jewish temple, because they didn't want any attention taken from their effort. But this girl seemed to be following every day for several days. And what her job was to tell people their fortunes and what was going to happen, but she was filled with a demon spirit. And the people that more or less owned her took advantage of her demon spirit. How that demon spirit came into her, we don't know. What happened to cause that, we don't understand. But what we know was that what she was saying, even though it was the truth, it might have even been in a mocking tone, or she may have been saying, trying to adopt Paul and Silas and their message into worshiping her God. But we do know that her masters only cared about the money that she brought them. Didn't care about her, nor how she suffered, and how she was treated by the demon spirit. The next verse, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out that very same hour. This come out that very same hour means that instantly that devil came out of her. Instantly she was changed drastically. Now, in being changed like that, there was a newness to her spirit to where she could invite Jesus into her heart. The demons wouldn't have anything to do with Jesus, but now she was clean, and she was able, and it seems that in this verse it implies that she accepted the teaching of Paul and Silas because the power of God was demonstrated in her deliverance. Now we go on to verse 19, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone. You see, that's all they cared about. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. These fellows must have had some influence, and they knew what judges to go to get the answer they wanted. It's kind of like politics today. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Isn't it amazing that you can do something that is so wonderful and bring deliverance to a life and then end up in jail because of it? We understand that, and the thing that strikes me with the men that own this girl is that they said they're teaching things that we as Romans should not ever hear. Oh my goodness, these are wild ideas about Jesus Christ and him being crucified and him resurrecting. These are way beyond our, you know, what we should ever have to hear. What Paul and Silas were bringing was words of deliverance and blessing for the whole city of Philippi. And he brought to them such an awesome message, and yet they refused it, and they had these guys beaten. Now, this was not just a small thing, not just 40 stripes. The Romans didn't have rules like the Jews had, but they beat them until they almost were tired of beating them. And so they received a torturous beating, and then they were put in prison and put in stocks, where they were again made so uncomfortable that every part of your body resisted against the torture that they were put in. And so it looks like this is the worst thing that could happen. What more could go wrong? I mean, this is awful, to do good and to be put in jail, to be beaten, to have your flesh opened up and then thrown into a jail without this. They weren't put into a hospital room. They weren't put into a nice bed. They weren't treated for their wounds. They were thrown into jail, and there with their open sores and everything in that nasty, filthy, wet jail environment. In verse 25, it said, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The prisoners were a captive audience. But these were prisoners. They deserved to be there. Paul and Silas were doing good. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains was loose. The earthquake is what I'm going to really emphasize today. We live in earthquake country, but so did they live in earthquake country. This earthquake was so exact in what it did. We don't know how other people responded to it, but we do know they felt it. We know that because of the response Paul and Silas gets the next day. But as Paul and Silas were praising God, and what they were doing was praying, preaching, singing, praising. They were having church. And all of these prisoners who were probably not the best of people were hearing them. If Paul and Silas had been in the corner or been where they were bound, grumbling and complaining, I don't know if this earthquake would have happened. I don't know how their deliverance would have come about. But I do know this, that when you've got those circumstances and you can praise God and keep on with the message of the Lord, then that God will shake what he has to shake. We were listening to a preacher on Jimmy Swigert's show today about, his name was Don George. And he was talking about the bones in Ezekiel 37 coming together and shaking. And I thought, yeah, shaking's a good message. Sometimes we need a shaking. And I'm not talking about we need calamity. We need everything flattened out. If every building in San Jose were flattened out, what a devastation that would be. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a shaking that God brings that will get the attention of the right people and will cause people to look to him. So there was this great earthquake, and what it did for Paul and Silas was set them free from the stocks that were very torturous. How many likes to stay in the same spot for a long time? It's difficult, isn't it? And when that earthquake hit, all the doors opened. And all of the stocks and bonds were broken apart, and they were free. There's so many miracles in this story. Number one, that the prisoners enjoyed the church service so much, they didn't want to leave. That's pretty amazing. God brought the earthquake, but it was a message to the city. And the city got the message. These were pagans. These were people who had absolutely no desire to do good. They wanted to do their thing, obey their religious points. But the chains were loosed. And then verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we're all here." Isn't it amazing that God opened the doors and kept everybody right in place? The prison guard, the prison keeper, was charged not to let these guys go. You better hang on to them safely. He knew that if he let them get out, that his life was in jeopardy and his family as well. He knew, and so he thought, if I kill myself, it'll look like they kill me running out and perhaps my family will be spared. But here's another thing that's a miracle. Paul caught him before he killed himself. And so he was ready to take his own life. And Paul said, don't bother with that. We're here. Then he called for a light and ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. You know what? It pays, folks, to sing praises to God. And the scripture says that they sang praises to God at midnight. They didn't start at midnight. They started whenever 7:30. How's that? And I don't know that any more than anything else, but I do know they started and they were running all the way to midnight, even though they were so hurt and even though they were so uncomfortable, they were praising the Lord. So he called for the light and he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There's a lot of preaching that goes on in America. A lot of preaching. There's many great preachers. We had a memorial to Billy Graham last week, and what a preacher of the gospel he was, and what a absolute, the man had a way with words, and he had a way with his mission of getting people to sign up for heaven. He could really draw you in. You wanted to go to heaven. And now Billy Graham is in heaven, and there's a lot of people already there that he's helped them to get there. The gospel of Jesus Christ is liberating. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful, and it'll take us from here, everything that we know, normal living, to a place that is beyond our comprehension. And we'll be there forever and ever. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection power that lives within us. So this man says, can you imagine that? He's coming to them. They're not going out evangelizing. He's coming to them saying, what does it take? Whatever you guys have is right, and I want to be a part of it. And so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. I like it when they talk about the whole house getting saved, the whole household getting saved. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Then he had brought Now when he had brought them to his house, he set food before him, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. You know what's a good result of this? People who were in that man's prison thereafter would be treated by a Christian and not a pagan. They would be treated better. They would be respected more. And no doubt, they would get to hear the word of God because this man's touched and saved by the Lord. He probably had a fountain out in his courtyard, and that's where they cleaned the wounds of the disciples, and that's perhaps where they were baptized into water. I believe, along with the commentary that I read, that they were also filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that, but it just seems right to have them really sign up for the whole experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, when Debbie and I were youth directors in the church, how many years ago? I don't remember. That's a long time. I don't have the mental capacity even calculate it. So a long time ago, on a Friday night, Brother Smith was a pastor, and a man that I knew in Alameda that we had gone to church with called me and said, "Jim, I need to go to church, and I need to get saved." And his name's Buddy West. And I said, "Okay." He said, "Call the pastor, see if he'll pray with us." And I called Brother Smith. Now, this is on a Friday night. You know, dinner time and all that goes on, preparation for the sermon and all. And Brother Smith said, "Absolutely, I'll be there in so much time." Bud lived in Santa Clara. And he came and he brought his family down to the altar, and they all went to the altar and prayed through. What's amazing to me is that the little kids, his kids were just little at that time, and all of them were there, and they prayed. His whole household got saved. And that when I read this about the jailer, I can see the same thing. I don't know how his family was, but I do know this. After the earthquake, after the shaking, they were all saved. They were all believers. The next part of this story is a little unusual, because the next day the magistrates realized we messed up. We abused the wrong people. And their God shook us. And before we get any more shaking or any more demonstration like that, we want to let them go. And so they sent word to the jailer saying, let them go. And he came to Paul and said, hey, I've got good news. You guys get to go. And Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly and uncondemned Romans and have thrown us into prison. So Paul uses the Roman card and he says, look what they've done to us. I don't know that we want just to go out and sneak away. And now they put us out secretly. No, indeed, let them come and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And they pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So now the shoe's on the other foot. Paul seems to have the upper hand. Why did Paul do this? Because Paul wanted to establish a church at Philippi. And he wanted to make sure that the next time he came in that he was okay to come and go. He wanted them, the people, to know that he didn't break any laws. He hadn't done anything wrong. And he wanted vindication so that he could come with the message and continue to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so, verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Paul laid the groundwork to come back so that there could be a presence of God in this town. And we have the whole book of Philippians, not a very long book, but written because Paul did, I think it's because of the singing and the praising God and preaching in that jail when he was so hurt and when it would have been easy just to sit there and brood, but he wanted to give glory to God, and God did receive the glory. And there's something about a shaking. We absolutely don't want to see earthquakes happen. When there's like a 4.6, you think, no big deal. But we know back a number of years ago, we had that one that was 6.9, 7.1. They kept moving it around. That was a big deal. And it got a lot of people's attention. It got a lot of people coming to church here on their lunch hour because they were scared. It got their attention. Unfortunately, people died. And we don't want to see that. But we do need a shaking that kind of moves us around and gets us to thinking and opens our heart. And we don't want to go to jail. We don't want to suffer that kind of thing. But whatever it takes for the Lord to minister to us and to get the word out to others to help them accept Jesus. There's another place in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. This is after another miracle had taken place, and after the disciples had been absolutely commanded to not talk about Jesus. And what did the disciples say? They said, what? We're going to obey you or God? And of course, they kept praying for more and more boldness. Debbie, would you come to the piano? A few weeks ago, we read out of the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, where God spoke to Elijah and he said, go out on the mountain. And there he saw strong winds, and the Lord wasn't in the wind. Then there was an earthquake. Lord wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. You know, God can use whatever he wants to get our attention and speak to our hearts. But I like the way we worship today was, I surrender all. We don't need an earthquake. We're ready. We don't, and have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Lord, you're able to mold us and make us in what you want. But there is a still small voice. That's what we want to listen for. Amen. The still small voice. And God direct us. I'd like us to do something a little different today. Maybe it's not that different. But I'd like us to come as a church and stand in the front and just surrender to the Lord for whatever he wants to fill us with, the Spirit, just a gratitude, a thankful heart, whatever God wants to put in our hearts. We want to yield to his Holy Spirit. Would you come and join us, and we'll have prayer and submit. We sang that song, I Surrender All. Let's surrender all. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just praise together today. Lord Jesus, we honor you. We thank you for your greatness and your mercy. Pray, Lord, that you'll just touch every heart and every life. Lord, we seek your grace and your mercy. We seek, Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit. Overwhelm us with your greatness, your love, your grace. Jesus, fill us with your power. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, touch our lives. You know the things that we are going to come up against, and you're able to give us the strength now for that day. Lord, we pray that you'll prepare us for the blessing. Lord Jesus, the situations that are right before us. We pray, Lord, your grace, your grace, your grace, your grace. Help us, dear Lord. Help us, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify your great name. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy God, holy God, holy God, holy God. Glory to Jesus, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Holy God, holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. My people, as you open your hearts to me and to my will, I will give to you revelation of the world that is immediately around you and beyond. I will open to your understanding the things that have been secret. I'll give to you an understanding for all the purposes of your life. I love you with a love that is unrestrained, and I'll give to you great understanding as you open your heart to me, saith the Lord. Holy Jesus, Holy Jesus, Holy Jesus. Surama kandai. Haladidio sidi andalidio kori aldidio kandai. Mercy, O grace, understanding and blessing, O Lord, your Spirit, Jesus. Haladidio kori andalidio sandai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shura makanda lididi ala lididi o siki di ai, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shura manda lididi o kidi anda lididi ai. Praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. Lord, we give glory to your name right now together as a body. Pray, Lord, that your strength will be in every life. Your great love, Lord, just pouring out within us. Help us to love others. Help us, Lord, to be a witness. We praise you. We praise you because you love us so much. And we honor you. You're worthy of our praise, of our commitment. You're worthy. We honor and give you glory. Be with your people as we go into this next week. You're our strength, you're our guide, and we love and honor you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. God bless you.